Nikki Mazzarina, Rena Israel, February 25th, Los Escondido, with respect to Kriya Saligila.
He's only done it twice already.
Okay. Erev Tov. We may end a little bit early. I know we usually go to like 9:05 or 9:10 or something like that. There's a varsity playoff game that I'm missing at home, so I figured if I could catch part of the fourth quarter, that would be nice. That's where I would have been otherwise. So, but Torah is more important. Okay, tonight, as Purim is upon us, and it is the Mishnah Shir, it'd be appropriate to learn a Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, we're going to learn part of it, and hopefully it will open up some new ideas, certain things that maybe we have taken for granted in our lives, even the little bit we know about the reading of the Megillah, and some of the old customs that existed, and hopefully we'll look at some practical halacha related to Megillah somewhat, and even not. Okay. So I'm going to go a little bit slowly in the beginning. I'm not sure how much of, let's say, this first Mishnah everybody's familiar with, so just bear with me. The best thing, if I would have a calendar, that's what, had I time to prepare at all, I would have given you a calendar, but we'll do the best we can. So the Mishnah says, Megillah Nikreis B'yud Aleph, B'yud Beis, B'yud Gimel, B'yud Dalid, B'tezvav, Lo Pachos V'lo Yosef. Period. The Megillah could potentially be read as early as the 11th of Adar, and not any later than the 15th of Adar. Okay? We certainly can work with the 14th and the 15th. The 15th is the date that the Megillah is read in the cities that had a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Today, the only city that falls into that category very clearly and does not have to be concerned with reading on the 14th is the city of Yerushalayim. But there are about 15 cities or so, maybe more, throughout Israel that will read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th because there's a doubt as to whether they actually had a wall around it. The Gemara actually mentions the city of Tveria, so people who live in Tveria will read the Megillah twice, but there are many more. Hebron, and Beit Sha'an, and Lud, and a whole host, and there is an old, there is a tradition, I'm not sure practically today, there are those that claim that the city of Prague actually may have had a wall around it all the way back from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's a long time ago, it's over 3,000 years ago. But keep in mind, by the way, that those cities, even if they're going to read also on the 15th, they recite a bracha on the 14th. The assumption is that that the real reading is on the 14th, and we'll read on the 15th just in case there was a wall around at that time. The real perm is Yudam. Okay, and the Mishnah tells us how that falls out. If you look on, second line, krachim, which means a big city, a krach, Hamukafin Choma Mimos Yoshua bin Nun, that was surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua bin Nun, Korin B'tesvav, they read on the 15th. That we're very familiar with. That's the halacha. Why is that so? Just a little bit of the history, just to remind ourselves that the story of Purim ended with a war. Okay, there was a war that was fought. We forget about that. Haman was killed. We think, you know, then it's time to... everything's very exciting. That's kind of like when we established the State of Israel on Heyar. Everything after that was great. That's, I think, you know, it's a very good analogy. That was just the beginning of the War of Independence. So here also there was a war, and the city, there was apparently more anti-Semitism in the city of Shushan itself, interestingly. And the people outside of Shushan, the Jews outside of Shushan, fought the war on the 13th. Everyone fought on the 13th. That's actually why we have Tanis Esther, not because Esther fasted, told everyone to fast for 3 days, because typically the day of a war is a day of Shuvah, and people would fast. And everybody fought the war on the 13th. The cities outside Shushan already celebrated and finished the war on the after the 13th, that rested and celebrated on the 14th. The people in Shushan fought for an extra day, and they rested on the 15th. That's why that's the minhag. Why don't we just follow then any city that had a wall around it from the days of Shushan? Because unfortunately that was the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it would be a disgrace to Yerushalayim that the city which had such a fortified wall around the city should not be special and be unique and have the Megillah read when Shushan is reading the Megillah. So based on a connection in the Psukim from the word Prazi, which we're not discussing tonight, there was a connection that was made by Chazal between the Megillah itself and the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. And that became the factor. In days of Yehoshua ben Nun, Yerushalayim indeed did have a wall around it. And that's why that was decided. Of course, Shushan itself would read on the 15th for those who live there. And certainly the city of Yerushalayim. So that's not our discussion tonight, just a little bit of background. Our discussion tonight is about the villages that didn't have, and there may be places today, that did not have enough Jews to read the Megillah on the regular day of Purim, on the 14th. Often you didn't have a Bal Koreh. I mean, you know, here in Renat, like, what does it mean there's no Bal Koreh? Right? Everyone's a Bal Koreh. So, yeah, but there were villages that you didn't have a Bal Koreh. And those, what would they do it's Purim. People may not have a Megillah. Even they have a Megillah, they don't know how to read it. So we even know that there was a Gezerah that if Purim falls out on Shabbos, that we don't read the Megillah because we're afraid someone may carry to go learn. Not everybody knew how to read the Megillah. So you had a small village, there are people who couldn't read the Megillah at all. So what would they do? So you would say, okay, I don't know, when it comes to mitzvos, I would say, you can't do it. What are you going to do? You live in a small town, there's no minyan, so they don't have minyan. They don't have a sefer Torah, so you don't lane, right? But here, there was a special takana that was made, and the Gemara later on, which we're not going to do tonight, tells us why this is so. Something very interesting about the mitzvah of Megillah, for some reason, you're able to read the Megillah prior to the day of Purim. There's actually an opinion that you could read the Megillah, not here, not in our Gemara, but the Yerushalmi, that you could read the Megillah as early as the beginning of Adar. If you know you're not going to be able to hear the Megillah. The Pasuk says, V'hachodesh, asher nepach lahem miyagom l'simcha u'me'evel l'yom tov. There's something very, very special about the Chodesh itself. And that, right, and therefore the whole Chodesh has some aspect of celebration. Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha. So maybe a person can somehow fulfill the mitzvah of the reading the Megillah any time during the month. The Mishnah says not any earlier than the 11th. What's that based on? We'll see in a moment. Let's read on a little bit in the Mishnah, and then we'll get a picture of what's happening. Third line, halfway down. Kfarim va'ayaros gedolos. If you're in a village, that's where you didn't have a minyan, you didn't have a Megillah, you didn't have people who knew how to read. And Ayaros Gedolos, the larger cities, but cities without a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Koren B'Yadalit. So they read on the 14th. That means if you're not living in a krach, in a city with a wall around it, you read on the 14th. That's when Purim is. That's the celebration of Purim. But Ella, however, Shakfarim Makdimin Liyom Haknisa. But if you live in a kfar, then you can actually read earlier on the Yom HaKnisa, the day of gathering. So this brings us, this is more of a historical phenomenon, which was the fact
that Monday and Thursday,
very good, right? That the villages, people lived in the villages, needed to do business, and you know that, and they also had to go shopping. They would provide a lot of what they were growing in their farms in these small villages to the cities, and they would sell, come to the city, come it was a big schlep, couldn't come every single day, but they would come on the market days. So on those days, for example, that's when the Beis Din would sit. You may have learned at some point that the Jewish courts would only sit on Monday and Thursday. That's when we say the long tachanun is Monday and Thursday. Monday and Thursday is a day where they would come in and the days of the shuk were the market days. People knew Mondays and Thursdays. It broke up the week. Yeah, Shabbos, then you have Monday and Thursday. And that's when the people in the Kfarim would come into the bigger cities. So it's amazing. Because they're coming into the bigger cities, we need them, they need us. So let's try to make things convenient for them so that they could read and hear the Megillah from someone who knows how to read it. People don't know how to read it, so let them come in. So they'll come in on the Yom HaKnisa. So the Mishnah, it's a lengthy Mishnah, but if you get a picture of a calendar in your head, you'll be able to follow everything very simply. So this year, let's take this year. Purim is on Thursday. Yud Dalid is Purim, okay? So let's talk about our Purim. Thursday is Yud Dalid. So when would you read the Megillah if you lived in a regular city? On Yud Dalid. When would you read the Megillah if you lived in a kfar, in a village? Also on Yud Dalid. Works out perfectly. You're traveling on Thursday. Purim is on Thursday. Here, I don't need any special dispensation of the rabbis because I'm going to be reading the Megillah on Purim day, obviously in the bigger city. Someone will read for me. I join the big city on Thursday. I do my shopping. I hear my Megillah. I hear Matanos Lavionim. Everything's wonderful. But then it can get a little more complicated. Let's say Purim is on Friday. Yud Dalit falls out on Friday. So what happens then? Leaving Yushalayim out of it for now. Okay, that's all they'll read, right? They have Shabbat, they don't read on Shabbos, they read on... Okay, yeah, they'll also read earlier. Let's not get complicated. Let's just deal with our two cities. The regular city and the kfar in the village. So the regular cities, what we would do here is we would read on Friday. Friday Purim, you know, everyone has when they have the Suda in the morning, gets so exciting, right? So when would the people read, if you were in a kfar, they'd read on Thursday. So what date would that be? Yud Gimel. All right, it also happens to be Tanis Esther, right? So they are Makdim in Liyom HaKnisa. Let's say Purim fell out, let's say Purim fell out on Sunday, right? Purim fell out on Sunday. So let's see. Purim means Yudat. Yudat, the 14th is Sunday. So let's go back. Well, I can never push Megillah ahead. It says below Ya'avor. I can only go back. So let's go back. Shabbos is Yud Gimel. We don't read the Megillah in Yud Gimel. You may carry it. Friday, Friday's not Purim, right? And that's not a Yom HaKnis. It doesn't help me at all. So I'm going to read on Thursday. So what date is that? What? That's Yud Aleph. So you'll never get earlier than Yud Aleph. Because there's always be a Monday and a Thursday somewhere. And if Purim falls out on Monday, works out well. Purim falls out on a Tuesday, you'll read on the day before Yud Gimel. Purim falls out on a Wednesday, you'll read on Yud Bet. Purim falls out on a Thursday, it's Purim. So you never get earlier than when Purim falls out on Sunday that the villages will read the previous Thursday, which is Yud Aleph, the 11th. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Never earlier than the 11th, never later than the 15th, assuming you're in a city with a wall around it for the Dezir Shubanim. That's what the Mishnah says. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains exactly the way we said it. It's the second line I have it underlined. Ela shahakfarim magdimin liyom haknisa. What does that mean? Klomar. I love the word klomar. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it in, you know, the few times I was here over Hanukkah. But Rashi says the word klomar when the words of the Gemara are not, if you take them literally, you don't really get a feel for what the Gemara is really saying. They earlier on the Yom HaKnisa, what does that mean? So I always quote that, you know, we don't have a large library in TABC. We have the basics. But I don't know who donated them, when this happened, but there are two Sfarim there that I've never seen anywhere else. I call them the Klomar books. Someone went through every Rashi in all of Shas and explains why Rashi had to use the word Klomar. What the issue was in the Gemara, it's absolutely unbelievable. So everybody say Klomar, so I get very excited. So what does that mean? Me'achar shehamu kafin korin pitesvav. Since the walled cities, right, Yushalayim, they read on the 15th. Vishain mu kafin korin biyudalid, and the non-walled cities, but regular cities, will read on the 14th. Hare hakol bichlal, right? right? Everyone's included. Everyone's already... What? Where do you ever get 11, 12, 13? Everything works out perfectly. Su hechi mishkachas yud aleph yud bet yud gimel. Where are you going to ever have 11, 12, 13? Oh, I'll explain to you. Ella, rather, shehakforim nasnu lahen chachamim rishos, the villages, the rabbis gave them permission, lahaktim kriyasa liyom akrisa, to, right, to read earlier on the day where they come in together. Yom Sheni b'Shabbos shelifnei Yudalid, the Monday prior to Yudalid if need be. O Chamishi b'Shabbos, or Thursday, which also would be prior. Shu Yom Knisa. What happens on that Yom Knisa? Shehakfarim miskansin la'ayaros limishpat. The villages come to the bigger cities for judgment. L'visha batei dinim yoshvin ba'ayaros b'sheni v'chamishi kitakonas Ezra. Ezra made 10 or so takonos. One of them was that batei dinim sit on only Mondays and Thursdays. V'hakforim, a very important part of this Rashi. V'hakforim einan biki'in likros. They're not experts. They don't know how to read the Megillah. Utsrichim sheyikra ena lahem echad mibnei ha'ir, and they need someone from the bigger city to read for them. V'lo hitrichum chachamim lehis acher v'lavo b'yom yudalid. The rabbis didn't say, oh my gosh, they came in on Monday, right, for a business, and then Purim's on Tuesday. Schlep back, I just came, I have to come again. The rabbi said, we're not going to make you do that. Upa'amim sheyom haknisa b'yud gimel. There are times that that day of gathering is yud gimel. Upa'amim sheyom b'yud al, and sometimes it's going to be the 11th, depending on when Purim falls out, everything that we explain. So it sounds like he doesn't add anything, and he doesn't, but we'll see. Okay, so what I want you to do is you can turn the page now. Okay, we gave a little bit of background. A lot of what we discussed is really on that first page in the Gemara. What you have for you, in front of you now, I have it underlined. It says, Tanan Hassan is a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. This is the beginning of Yevamos. This is also very exciting. This is right at the beginning of Maseches Yevamos. And Yevamos is all about Yibum and Chalitza. Unrelated completely to what we're talking about. In fact, the Mishnah speaks. What's this doing? Oh, that's the exciting. That's the exciting part. Okay. Okay. That's a good guess, but it will become apparent as we go through. All right. So the Gemara is going to quote our Mishnah. And the only thing you need to know from Yevamos is that there is a dispute, as there are many, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How often do they argue? Quite often. I often like to mention when I speak about our Masorah, how, you know, we question, there's so many disputes. It's certainly a high school, question, but I think we all have the question. You know, if it's such a strong Masorah, there's so many questions and so many machlokas here and dispute there. I mean, yeah, can't we get it right? What happened exactly? So I always like to quote, there's a Rashi in Maseches Chagiga on a Mishnah that's in Chagiga, it's also in Maseches Beitza, where they discuss placing your hands on the head of a korban on Yom Tov. It's a question whether you're allowed to do that. Why? Not tonight's discussion. But there, Rashi quotes, and there, is it mutter or aser? Everybody gets into the picture. Some of the greatest people you've heard, Shimon ben Shetach, Anitar, Bailey, or Yehuda ben Tabal. You sound familiar. Look at
yes.
That. Okay.
Yes.
Shammai and Hillel are in that machlokas. Everybody, all the great, Zugo, all the great people are in that machlokas. So Rashi there quotes, this is the first machlokas ever. That's what he says. This is the first machlokas ever. Whether you can do, I mean, out of all things, can you place your hands on the head of the korban on Yom Tov or not? Is that prohibited on Yom Tov? But it was understood that in the earlier Tanaim, there were very few disputes. Hillel and Shammai themselves argue on three issues. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue on dozens, if not in the hundreds. Okay? Just something to keep in mind. Anyway, Tanan Hasa. So, the word Hasa means over there. The Gemara here is quoting our Mishnah. It's nice to, you know, when you're learning Yevamos, which is not a very... it's one of the most complex Masechtos that are out there, and you see a Mishnah from Megillah, it gets very exciting. You're like, it's the vacation. Okay? Tanan Hasam, we learn a Mishnah over there. Megillah Nikreis, Bachad Asar, Ubishne Masar, Ubishlosha Asar, Uvarba Asar, Vachamisha Asar, Lo Pachos Velo Yoser. Oh, perfect, that's our Mishnah. Alright?
Fine.
So now, the... We're not within this sugya, so we don't have to understand everything. So Amar Le Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, I have a problem with this. What's my problem? Ikri Khan Lo Sisgo Dedu Lo Tasu Agudos Agudos. He says, hold on 1 second. This should not be allowed. This is a Torah prohibition on a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which says Lo Sisgodin. Now, what does the pasuk really mean? We'll see in a moment. What is the drash? What are we deriving Torah Shaval Peh? That the Jewish people cannot split up into groups, into separate groups, and do their own thing. If you're within, right, I cannot have within the same room two groups of Jews that are having different customs, following completely different halachos. Because the Jewish people have to act as one. Lo sisgodidu, that's not really what the words mean, but lo tasu agudos agudos, we should not split up into groups. So the Gemara right away says, first of all, right, that what are you talking about? Right, what does that have to do with what we're talking about Megillah? Second of all, where do you see that in the pasuk? So watch. Hi, losis go to do. This pasuk losis go to do. Mi boile legufe. He's needed for itself. De Amar Achmana. I didn't tell you what it meant because the Gemara tells you, because the Torah is telling you. Lo tasu chabura al beis. You're not allowed to cut yourself as a sign of mourning. If you read it, says, Lo tisgo dedu velo tasimu karcha bein enichem lames. Kiam kadosh ata, etc. Right? Banim atam lashem alokechem. So, that's what it means. You're not, agudos agudos, it means you're not allowed to scratch yourself as a sign of mourning. That's a Torah prohibition. So he can't tell me it means the Jews shouldn't split up into different groups. So he says, "Na'im kain le'makor lo tigo dedu, my lo tisgo dedu, shma mina lahachihu da'asa." That the extra tough teaches me you can derive something else. Ve'ema kule lahachihu da'asa. Maybe it's all teaching me that I shouldn't. Maybe it's not teaching me anything about cutting myself. Maybe it's all about don't split up into groups. Im kein le makro, the pasuk could have said lo togodu. My lo tisgo didu, the extra dalid, shmami na tarte. From there we can derive two things. Lo tisgo didu, number one, the simple interpretation, a person as a sign of mourning should not make any cuts in his body, should not cause himself to bleed. And number two, the Jewish people should not separate into groups. Okay, fine. I once spoke, I don't know when, at somewhere years ago, to try to explain what the connection between these two things. I believe there is a connection. If it comes to me, I'll let you know. But that's not what tonight's shiur is about. But anyway, what's the Gemara's question? The question is, if there's a prohibition of lo sisgo dedu, how can the Jewish people be reading the Megillah on the 11th and 12th? And through what kind of religion is this? What are you doing? This doesn't look very good. This is against the Torah. The Torah says, if you have a mitzvah, a custom, whatever it may be, everyone should be doing the same thing. Here, on different days, what kind of yantif is this? They're leaning on this day, and they come to this city. The whole thing is crazy. So if you turn the page, the Gemara is going to define in greater detail the prohibition of losis godin, which is pretty important. Amar Abaye, you see where it's underlined and bracketed. Don't worry about it. Ki amrinan losis godin. When do we say losis godin? That there's an isser to separate into groups regarding customs and halachot. Kigon shtei batei dinim bi'ir achas. When you have two courts in the same city, now you see how it's related to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Halalu morim kedivrei Beis Shammai, v'halalu morim kedivrei Beis Hillel. In what? The same city you have two courts. They are ruling like Beis Shammai, and they are ruling like Beis Hillel in the same city. Right? You have in Tinek. Right, in the same city, that's a bad example, we do this all the time. But, you have to, when you really have a Beis Din, you have the city Beis Din, or two city, and they're giving different rulings. So that's losis godin. Aval, shtei batei dinim b'shtei ayaros. But if there are two batei dinim, two courts, but they're in two separate cities, I don't mind. Les lanva, I don't have a problem with that. So therefore, if I have someone reading the Megillah in Yerushalayim, and I have someone reading the Megillah in Tel Aviv, these are two separate towns, so the fact that there's one ruling, they're going to read on the 15th, and they'll read on the 14th, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. The Gemara says, I'm still not comfortable. Why? Amar Le Rava. V'ha beishamai ubeishilil kishtei batei dinim bi'ir achas dami. There's some question as to what Rava's issue is, but just that, just simply, beishamai and beishilil lived in the same city. The schools were in the same city. The people said, yeah?
So, if I'm understanding this, then it's okay to read early if it's a day that's the market day or the Beit Din day on the Thursday before Purim.
Okay.
Because you have the let's say the farmers are coming to town to sell. Okay,
right.
I'm fine with that. But what about the people who actually live in the city? Do they listen to Megillah on the
Okay. Excellent. Beautiful. We're going to get there. Okay, we're going to get there. Okay, very important. Because Rashi led us to believe one thing. And we'll see a different interpretation. Excellent. Okay, we'll get there. So Rava says, wait, Beishamai Beisilil kishtei batei dinim bi'ir achastami. Well, wait, Beishamai and Beisilil, they lived in the same city, so they often made different rulings within the same city itself. So isn't that about it? Don't tell me Beishamai was in city A, Beisilil was in city B, and it's okay that they ruled this way and they ruled this way because they're in different cities. They were in the same city, and they were still given different rulings. You asked the school of Hillel, they ruled one way. You asked the school of Shammai, they ruled another, in the same city. So you didn't solve our problem. So Rava says, I'll define losis godidu. Ela amar Rava, ki amrinan losis godidu, kigon beis din bi'ir achas. It means one court in one city. That's my problem. In the same court, you have certain rabbis in the same Beis Din, in the same city, one Beis Din. And some are ruling plag morin ki Beis Shammai. Half of them rule like Beis Shammai, right?
Don't they have to agree on the ruling?
That's, well, it depends on, it's not talking about where someone comes, let's say, to a Beis Din of three people on one issue. In other words,
different rooms, or
it could be that they came to the Beis Din. It consists of many different rabbis, and this case came to these rabbis, and now came to someone else. You know, that would be like if someone came to me and I gave a different psak halacha in the same shul, and Rabbi Albert says something else on the same issue. That's crazy, right? You can't have that. So plag morin kedivrei Beis Shammai uplag morin kedivrei Beis Hillel. Aval shtei batei dinin bi'ir achas les lanba. So Rava now further qualifies and says, I'm not bothered by two, but even in the same city, I'm okay if they're two separate batei dinin. And since Beis Shammai ruled in one Beis Din, in one school, in one yeshiva, and Beis Hillel ruled in a different Beis Din, in a different yeshiva, despite the fact that they may have been in the same city in Israel, that's acceptable. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So, as long as I have two separate, it could be in the same city, as long as you're not in the same shul, the same school, the same Beis Din, I don't mind two rulings in the same city. That's fine, because it's two separate Batei Din. Okay, so certainly go back to Megillah now for a second. So if I have a reading in Tel Aviv on the 14th, and a reading in Yerushalayim on the 15th, there I'm certainly okay. I mean, here, the question was not on Megillah per se. The question was on Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. The Megillah question was certainly covered. Abai covered it with his own answer, which means, right, that two separate cities, certainly 14th, 15th, 11th, I don't have a problem at all. That's the Gemara's conclusion. So if you take a look at Tosos, it's I have a little arrow there, where it says, Ki Amrin Losis Godidu, Kigon Shteba Te Dinim V'Irachas. It's underlined, the Im Toma. Ask Tosos, you think you covered the Megillah question? I think not. Vin Toma, Ma Tirates Min Megillah. How did that answer the question of Megillah? You think the only Megillah issue was Yerushalayim on the 15th and Tel Aviv on the 14th? Oh, there's a bigger problem with Megillah. And you did not address that issue. Debeir achas hayu koren lebnei ha'ir biyudalid v'lefnei kfarim hayu makdimin leyom hakanisa. In the same city, in right outside Jerusalem, someone came in from the village. They came in from a small village and came to Haifa. Right, they came to Tel Aviv. So listen, in our little town outside, we have a minyan. I'm coming in now on Thursday. So here we're, that's unbelievable. In the same city, the same exact city, same place. Even Rava would have a problem with this, but certainly Abaye. In the same city, you're reading the Megillah when? Well, some people are reading it on the 13th, and they're reading it on the 14th. Oh, and this year, some they're reading it on the 12th, and some are reading it on the 14th. In the same exact city. How is that allowed? How is that possible? So the answer is, says Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, that we are have been blinded. This is kind of like learning Chumash. And then all of a sudden someone says, but the Ibn Ezra says this. He can't, because I've learned this with Rashi for the last 25 years, and that's what the Pasuk means. So watch carefully. Says Tosfos, Va'omer Rabbi Chaim, okay, so Rav Rabbi Chaim HaKohen, Dibinei Kfarim, Hayu Korin Bi'iram. They read in their own cities, Kidemuchach Bi'Yerushalmi, as is even proven in the Yerushalmi. Strange. No one knew how to read. Bahashka havu shtei batei dinim bebeis ayaros. That's acceptable. Two batei dinim, two different places. Dibichi hai gavna. In such a case, lo shayach lo sisko dedu afilu la'abaye. That's not lo sisko dedu. That's very nice. That's not lo sisko dedu. But I'm not really sure what you're talking about. Didn't you say there's something called the Yom HaKnisa? And everybody gathers together, and they come on that day. What is going on? If they could read in their own city, so what was the whole takana to begin with? Just read on the 14th. He says, no. V'hadukari le yom haknisa. So why do you call yom haknisa at all? Oh, beautiful. L'fi shed bi'iram. In their own cities, hayu mit asfim lavo v'beis haknesses b'sheni uvachamishi l'kros ha'torah. What happened? So this is like a park and ride setup where what happened was, yes, in one kfar, you didn't necessarily have someone who knew how to read the Megillah. But on a Monday and a Thursday, before the little towns would go to the big city, they would all gather together on Monday. Amongst all of them, they could afford to have one Sefer Torah. Amongst all of them, they could have a Megillah. Amongst all those little towns, one guy could read the Megillah. One town had a Megillah guy. So on Monday or Thursday, before they would take the trek, take the bus, take the train to the big city, they would all gather in some central city, one of those kfarim, or central town, read the Megillah, and then all travel to the big city. Where were they reading? They were not reading in the other city. They were not. They were reading in their own cities. In one of those kfarim, they would gather together. They were not reading it. So is there a losis go to do? Not at all. They're reading the Megillah earlier, but it's a different city. They're not reading in the... We thought... Everyone learns this Mishnah like Rashi. Right? Everyone, like people, they live their whole life and they only know Rashi. They don't know that... I have no other opinion. But it answers the question. When you came to the big city, there you did your shopping. Where'd you hear the Megillah? Oh, I heard it before I left. Before I left. What question does this answer? So look how beautiful it is. Look on. V'chein nireh. And says Tosvos, that's Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen's opinion. I think this is correct. Why? Because there's a major issue in Halacha that has been resolved with this nupshat. De'amar b'Yushalmi, the ben ir, ein motzi ben krach, or that should be ben kfar, probably, yes. De'chol she'ein mechuyav b'davar, ein motzi acherim yidecho vasam. V'kevan she'b'nei ha'kfarim hayu b'kiyim l'kros, vadai hayu korim b'iro. You know when major issue comes up? I'm a village man. I come to Tel Aviv on the 12th of Adar. Because I don't know how to read the Megillah. Let's follow Rashi. So I come in and I do a little bit of shopping. I say, could please one of you read the Megillah for me? You from the big city. I come here. You know, I come to Teaneck and I have plenty of people to read the Megillah for me. There's one slight problem. They're not chayv in Megillah today. If you're not a mechuyav bidavar, ein motzi rabbi midecho vasam, you can't discharge someone else's obligation. How exactly did that work according to Rashi? According to Rashi, you have to say that we have to somehow expand our definition of mechuyav bidavar to include the fact that I am a ben ir, I live in Tel Aviv, my Purim is in 2 days from now, but I'm still a mechuyav bidavar because I have a chiyuv Megillah in this month. In 2 days I will. I'm not exempt. I'm not a minor. I can be motzi you and read the Megillah. According to Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, I don't have to stretch that at all. Because who's reading? The people from the villages themselves are reading. And that solves the losis go to do issue as well. Yeah?
If they can read on Yud Aleph, when in theory they're not mechuyav, because it's Yud Aleph, it's not Yud Aleph.
Who? You mean the kfar, B'nai Kfarim, okay.
So theoretically, that should extend to the person who's going to read to, because it's the same.
So that's what Rashi would have to say. That's exactly what Rashi would have to say. That because, in fact, if it's a Monday or a Thursday, they all read together, right? So the way we'd have to define, I think, the days, and this, you know, is not going to spend time tonight, but let's say the 11th, 12th, and 13th. What are those days exactly? Would you say that, well, the Chachamim say, listen, we want to take, you know, there's a little bit of tircha for everybody. Let's be lenient. So, okay, that's the simple way to understand it. But conceptually, in order to solve Rashi's problem, you have to say that the rabbis extended the chiyuv of the 14th to the 11th. And then you're mechuyav bidavar. Then we really have the same chiyuv, right? It's been extended a little bit. It's a three-day chiyuv, a four-day chiyuv. Then you have to question, if that's true, can the person from the city fulfill his obligation on that day? If mm-hmm. he can't, then already we have a problem. Yeah.
So then, now today, I mean, I was just talking to Tayela. She's living in Yerushalayim now. She's in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. She's going to Tel Aviv, and then she's doing the shuffle back and forth.
Not allowed that.
So in theory, then, somebody who lives in Yerushalayim if they go to Tel Aviv on Purim, they can't lane for the tzibur because they're not chayiv until Shushan.
Right, so it depends on when you become. We usually assume, based on the riff, we assume that you become a ben whatever you are. Okay, not to exclude bat, you know, ben or bat, whatever you like. You get the idea. When you're there in the morning, when you arrive, if you're there in the morning of that city's Purim, you can become a ben of that city, and the chiyuv sets in for that individual. So it does get very complicated. Person is, I mean, you could spend, you know, hours on giving all these different cases. You know, you're in Tel Aviv the night of the 14th, right? And then and you read the Megillah, and then you come, you arrive in Yerushalayim on the morning, you're there before the morning of the 15th, right? So technically you could be, it could be Mechuyav. If you come there after Netzach Hama, so then I wasn't in the city, so I'm not Chayav. And you have that. And the same thing would apply, right? Who could be Motzi the other in the Reading of the Megillah? That's definitely a great topic. Maybe for next year. Okay, but that's a great time. Yeah.
Another way that you could we explain Rashi's position would be if it was always the case that it was a villager that was reading it, and the villagers just read it in the city because that was a convenient place for everybody to gather. So it was never the case that you went dafka because somebody from the city was reading. It was a villager reading.
Right.
But you aren't forcing everybody to gather on days that weren't for gathering.
Correct. And then I could gather. In other words, here I can at least get myself to. It wasn't that we couldn't read, but since preferably we'd love to have a minion, right? It's preferable. You don't have to, but you would love to have it if we can. So now at least I'll have a minion. We didn't have a minion where we were, right? So there, it's a very good point. It could be understood. Rashi could be understood that way as well. Okay, so I just want to, just to add on one extra aspect. Los Iskodu, by the way, comes up in a couple of scenarios. And then I'll give one related to Megillah. One of them, besides this, one of them, the most famous one, is, which somehow we completely ignore, is Tfilin on Chol HaMoed. So if there are different minhagim that are wearing Tfilin on Chol HaMoed, the strict Ashkenazi minhag of the Rama is that we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed without a bracha. But because there are so many other opinions, the Zohar was very strict about not wearing tefillin, that it's as usur as on Shabbos and Yontif and Chol HaMoed, takes a very strong stand on it because of the Kiddush of the Yom. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore not Chol HaMoed either. And the Vilna Gaon and Ashkenazi was against wearing tefillin, and the Hasidim who followed the Zohar were against it. So that's why if you go to Israel, where either you're a Sephardi and the Shulchan Aruch says no, you're a Talmud of the Gra, right, or Hasidish. So that's why if you visit in Israel, you don't want to be wearing a tefillin in public on Chol HaMoed. That's for sure not. In Chutz Laaretz, so when I was growing up, I remember someone telling me, you walk into a shul and it's really 50-50. So it's not really 50-50, maybe I'm just biased because we're a teenager. But most people now that I see do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You have some people wear tefillin. So when I was first married, and I and my wife was living in, her family is living in Paramus, so they are at the Kala Das Yeshur in Paramus. So there, first time I experienced this, first of all, they are makpid on Los Iskodudu, that you can't have. It looks ridiculous. Some people are wearing tefillin, some are not wearing tefillin. In our shuls, we don't make a big deal of it. There they do. But lo and behold, I was the odd man out. I was not wearing tefillin. I had to daven in the Ezras Nashim with a few other people who were not yekis, because they follow Ramah, you know, almost 100%. And there I was, you know, davening separately. We had to daven the Ezras Nashim. So many shuls are not makpid on that, but apparently it seems that that is something, that is one of the classic examples that we have. Another example, which is something we can certainly appreciate in this shul, is something that I've heard from Rav Schechter. He's written about this, and I've spoken with him as well about the one or two days for Yontif, so in Israel. So you know, here there's a blanket. You know, it's one day. You know, we don't even have to ask anymore. It's the Masorah is. You know, you keep one day. But even for those who are strict, so you'd be surprised, certain cases that I brought to Rav Hershel Schechter's attention, what he has said. So he made this comment, a question a few years ago. Someone had asked me, they were going to They were going to Israel for Yontif, for Pesach, and they wanted to know what, you know, Rav Schechter's opinion was on the matter. So, you know, so I spoke with him a little bit. So this is what he said. They were going to a hotel in Tveria, which is supposedly is, you know, hot spot, you know, people, a lot of people know. So he said, so I thought the best thing would be, why don't you just ask the Rav, they have a Rav in the hotel, ask him what he thinks the Bnei Chutzlaret should be doing. So anyway, this person, they wanted to know what the issue was. So fine. So Rav Schechter said like this, someone who normally holds that you hold 2 days in Israel. He said, I want you to find out about what the Bnei Chutzlaret are doing in that hotel. If most of them are from Rina, or I mean from Tina, or from wherever, where they're keeping 1 day, then you need to keep 1 day. Because you are part of, you're in the hotel, so clearly Bnei Chutz La'aretz, Bnei Eretz Yisrael have different manhag, and that's understandable. But out of the Bnei Chutz La'aretz, for some to be keeping 1 day, and you're going to keep 2 days, that's Lo Sisko to do. So you should follow the majority opinion. So lo and behold, the majority of the people of the Bnei Chutz La'aretz were keeping only 1 day. But there was a little caveat which made things very complicated, which is why, you know, I can understand Rabbi Adler's psak, it makes things a little bit smoother, because this was the issue. That's all true when you're in the hotel. Once you leave the hotel, that's not your grouping anymore. Now, you're just a Ben Chutz La'aretz within Eretz Yisrael. So you should really be keeping 2 days. So practically, what did that mean? So just imagine, because here people go and they have family, we want to go on a family trip, that you can't do. We have cousins in Israel, Israeli cousins, we want to go on a family trip, that you can't do, on the second day of Yontif. But if you're in the hotel, your kids can go swimming and you can check your BlackBerry, whatever it is, within the hotel itself. Already you can see it gets a little bit crazy, but it's all based on the concept of Los Discordes. That's another example that comes up as well. One other one I saw in Nikrei Kodesh just a few minutes before I came, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank brings up the following issue of Los Discordes. You know, as the modern city, as the new city of Yerushalayim was being built, so there are several questions about the reading of the Megillah. If you live in the old city, I understand you're reading on the 15th. But I don't live in the old city. I live in, who knows? I live in, in Rehovot. You live in Ramat Eshkol. What are you supposed to do? So these were questions that were brought up, you know, when the city was first being developed, where there were questions about it. So one of the questions was, regarding these issues, the cities habatim hamechubarim leir haatika or rechoka mechomat hare haatika mishum lo siskodidu. What do we say? Deim neima deela sheni tosfu ala krach yosir mimil. They're already beyond. They're a kilometer away. Be yudalid ubnei akrach v'chol samach lo tochamil koyikru b'tezvav. Should we be concerned that people sitting in the old city, they're definitely in the 15th, and you're living in the new city, so they're already, so what should the halacha be? So the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah has already discussed, if you can hear or see or what have you, so then you also read on the 15th. I think the Vaseret Zion is in that category. I think they may read on both days, because they may be one of those who are ro'eh, you can actually see the city. So then there's a question whether you are chayev to read as this people in Yerushalayim. Okay. But one of the issues that he brings up is, okay, so they read on the 14th, they can't see the city. You're far away, whatever. It's not so simple. Because if you call this city Jerusalem, this is part of the entire city, so that's Lo Sisko to do. You have... Where do you live? Yerushalayim. When do you read? These people, you know, one block, at what point? Where's the cutoff point? Right? We know, okay, you get to Tel Aviv, okay, this is, welcome to Tel Aviv. Okay, welcome to Tveria, welcome. But here, Yerushalayim, I'm in, still in Yerushalayim, and I drive it on the block from Yerushalayim. So here, you have one shul on one side of the block. They're reading on the 14th. On the other side, they're reading on the 15th. In the same year, certainly Abai is going to have a problem with that. Shouldn't there be an issue of Lo Sisko Dune? And Tzvi Pesach Frank, he quotes an opinion that claims that that may not be an issue. And I'll quote both sides, and we'll conclude. He says, he quotes a Sefer, basically quotes the Magen, a Sefer that quotes the Magen Avraham. I'm not bothered by Lo Sisko Dudu. Ela Shahamakom Gore. He claims that the makom that you're in, it makes it very clear that you're not Yerushalayim. If this is close enough to the old city, if you're telling me they can see the old city versus they can't, this is a kilometer, this is not a kilometer. Hamakom Goreim, this is this shul, this is that shul. That shouldn't be an issue. The truth is, when you think about all the Gemara in Yevamos, it seems that that was not so. It wasn't so simple. Even Ir Achas, I can have people doing different things. And he argues and brings a proof. He claims that he thinks that it is an issue of Lo Sisko Dudu, and therefore, besides the fact that the city of Yerushalayim has extended, it's understood that that's what happens. That's what we do. We have a central city, and we expand the city. And more people move in, and you move it further out. Would anyone claim that, now there's a new block, now we've extended the city, or extended the Eruv? That's a completely different place. No, we're dominating the same shuls, coming to the same places, and therefore part of the consideration in the Piskei Halacha of expanding Sivu Shalayim is an issue of Lo Sisko Dudu, to have within the same city, what we call the same city. Some people reading on the 15th, some reading on the 14th. That's silly. That's Lo Sisko Dudu. That's agudos, and people shouldn't split up. Okay. Nonetheless, that is just Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. Two different approaches to what was happening in the Kfar. Were the people coming into the city itself? Some of the answers I think we tried to resolve to defend Rashi, someone to justify his opinion. So Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen and Tosus agrees, says no, they were gathering in their own city. We don't have the issue of Mechuyav Bidavar. We take care of the problem of Lo Sisko Dudu, and we resolve that issue. And then some of the more questions of Lo Sisko Dudu, the Tefillin question or the Yom Tov Sheni question, and in Eretz Yisrael, and of course this issue of expanding the city of Yerushalayim. Okay, I wish everyone a good night.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay.